This podcast brought to you by Harvey Norman. Shop with confidence on technology and entertainment, online, mobile, in-store.
On Life and Technology, I want to talk to you about some great technology that is working its way through the public pool system in Australia. It's a very interesting way of protecting our swimmers, especially our kids, as they are swimming in public pools, not just this summer, but ongoing. And we're talking today with Dan Kwasinski. He's the Managing Director of Maytronics Australia, a company that is bringing this technology into our public pools. And if you've ever been involved in rescuing someone from a pool, or I was once upon a time in a previous life, was a surf lifesaver down on the beach, did a few rescues, you would know and agree that anything that we can do to make swimming safer in this country is a good thing. Welcome to the show, Dan. How are you going?
Hey, Charlie. How you doing? Thanks for having us.
Oh, no, always a pleasure to talk to you. Now, look, you guys have a product called the Poseidon Drowning Protection or Drowning Detection Technology. What exactly is it, and how is it making public pools, not just in Australia but around the world, safer?
Okay, sure. So our system is a computer vision system. It's a combination of cameras and high technology computer algorithms that's designed to detect someone when they're drowning in a public pool. Now, the reason we kind of first invented the system is being a lifeguard in a public pool, you've got 100 people to watch, one set of eyes. It's a bit like playing Where's Wally in a swimming pool, and you've got 10 seconds to detect someone. So it's pretty almost impossible for lifeguards to see people and detect them in time.
And it is that environment too, right? Whenever you go to a public pool, the place, especially on a warm or a hot day, the pool is literally ant-like with kids, and it's even made, I guess, even harder if you add in wave pools and people floating around on lilos and all that kind of stuff. And you're asking the lifeguard or lifeguards in some cases to protect the people who are in the pool. But from my understanding, and I was a surf lifesaver at the beach, which was obviously different to being in the pool, but from my understanding, as soon as you go underneath the water, you are much more difficult to see than someone who's drowning on top of the water.
Yeah, absolutely. So typically when someone drowns, they don't splash about and they don't shout like you see in the movies. They sink very quickly under the water. And as soon as you've got water disturbance with other swimmers or glare, then it's really hard to see under the water. And so our system is designed to detect people when they're under the water. So it's really a tool for lifeguards so they can get the people in time and make a rescue.
Now, I'm going to talk to you about how the technology works in a second, but you did mention that getting to people in time. And from my education in this area, it's all about the first minute, isn't it? The closer you get to somebody in that first minute, the more likely they are to either A, be resuscitated, or B, just be pulled out of the water and be conscious and able to continue. It's that first minute. How does your technology help with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So typically you see that when someone's drowning, they take maybe 30 seconds to get to the bottom. And then from that point, you're looking for 10 seconds for the lifeguard to detect and another 20 seconds for them to rescue. That's kind of the international standard. Mm. And lifeguards typically only see that happens when we've done testing or when others have done testing in 20% of the cases. Our technology is looking to do that all the time. So it's detecting someone in 10 seconds, giving a signal to a lifeguard and alarm so they can make a rescue within that minute time.
Now, you're looking at people behaving in a particular way under the water, and your system is looking for a particular kind of behavior. How do you tell between someone who's actually drowning and someone who's, I don't know, trying to pick up a rubber quoit off the bottom of the pool?
Yeah, sure. It's actually quite a difficult process. There's about a million lines of code behind the scenes. There's some high-level computer vision experts that design these complex mathematical algorithms, and they've moved on to other things like Google cars and iPhone cameras and the like. So they're really detecting drowning-like behavior. So the swimming pattern, how long they're underwater for, their trajectory, all of these things come into the equation, if you like, in real time to make a decision in 10 seconds. So it's actually quite difficult. The other thing about it is pools are different. So each pool is different, but even within a pool, the light changes, the number of patrons change. So it's actually quite complicated to get that level of detection without giving false alarms.
And we talk about that idea of a false alarm. I mean, the whole idea of crying wolf, every time you cry wolf or every time you get that false alarm, it devalues the system, doesn't it? It reduces the level of reliance or trust in the system that is there to protect. How do you ensure that you minimise that that false alarm in that swimming pool environment?
Yeah, sure. There's some research around false alarm rates, and it's called alarm fatigue is the kind of technical term, which is basically saying, like you said, if it goes too often, then people are going to cry wolf and ignore it or turn the system off. So we're really looking for less than four false alarms per day. And we're generally around the two mark. So any more than that, and you start to get that type of psychology of a lifeguard where they're saying this is really annoying. Around that number is okay because lifeguards are in tune with the system. They know it's working and they're kind of harnessing and looking at the pool at a certain right time.
The operation of the device, at the end of the day, you want a lifeguard to be a lifeguard and to focus on being the lifeguard. You don't want him to actually try to act like some kind of computer technician up there in his tower or wherever he's sitting. How does your system work to ensure that he can focus on what he does and this is an extra or an enabling technology that provides that extra level of support rather than rediverting his attention elsewhere?
Yeah, okay. So the system is really designed that the lifeguard doesn't need to be involved in the system at all. It's all automatic, so it kind of takes a complex computer algorithm and gives a very easy-to-use interface. A lifeguard will be on pool deck. You want them searching the water and looking at the water at all times and keeping dangerous behaviour from happening. They'll hear an alarm. They'll look at a panel that will tell the exact location where someone is, and then they'll get to the person really quickly and easily. So during the normal course of operations of the day, they don't actually need to be engaging with the system. It's automatically working in the background. When something happens, they can just use it to react really quickly.
Coming into summer, are there many public pools in Australia that have the Poseidon drowning detection technology installed already, Dan?
We've had one council so far take on the technology, which is Blacktown City Council. They've kind of been the leader and they're moving forward. In Australia, we hope for many more. Australia's probably lagging a little bit the rest of the world. We've had other countries where they're almost making it mandatory now to include in public pools. So we're really hoping that will happen in Australia, and maybe building codes and other things might change to include it as part of public pools.
All right. It is the Poseidon drowning detection technology. It is rolling out to different pools, and as Dan has just said, it's in the Blacktown Council has enabled the technology already. We hope to see more pools with this technology and this kind of technology being used. In my opinion, anything that we can do to keep our kids safe as they're swimming and enjoying the summer is definitely a good thing. Dan Kwasinski, Managing Director of Matronics Australia. Always good to have a chat, Dan. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it.
Well, there you go, Charlie. I've learned something there. I never knew you were a lifeguard.
No, it was a lot more. Boy, was I a lifeguard. I enjoyed that lot. Let me tell you, Warren, when we were a lifeguard, I was down at, for our listeners in Sydney, if you know Long Reef Beach, it faces down to the southeast, and every sort of March, April, you'd get those southeasterly swells coming through.
Yep.
And I was the guy in the inflatable rescue boat, sometimes flipping it over upside down.
Did you wear the funny little cap?
Well, wore the cap, wore the Speedos.
Oh, I didn't need to know that last bit, but anyway, go on.
Wore the cap, wore the Speedos. But let me tell you, when you start off being a lifeguard, you don't actually expect to actually do any rescues. You know, you train for it.
Yep.
But the day you're doing your first mass rescue, and I think the biggest we had was about seven people caught in a rip one day, it really does wake you up to the importance of the job that those lifeguards in Australia do, which is obviously phenomenal. We all rely on their support and their guarding of the beaches and all that. But I enjoyed it. I loved it. And that's why I was partly why I was so interested in this technology coming into pools in Australia. We hope to keep anyone and everyone who swims our pools as safe as possible.
Okay. We'd love to hear from you as part of Life and Technology. Get on the phone to talk to Charlie on 131873 or email us via 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au.
This podcast brought to you by Harvey Norman. Shop with confidence on technology and entertainment online, mobile, in-store.